It's 95.5 KLOS, Southern California's rock station. We have got Robert John, Arthur Halford checking in, singer-songwriter, metal god, Judas Priest. Hello, hello. Hey, Rob.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marcy. Happy birthday to you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I couldn't ask for a better birthday gift. Oh, my gosh.
Happy birthday, Marcy.
Thank you, Rob. How are you?
And Matt Pinfield wishes you a happy birthday as well. I've just finished Zooming with Matt.
Nice. I love Matt. Yeah, he just popped his head in here a second ago.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear your voice again.
So good to finally talk to you, Rob. You've done a lot of stuff with us here at KLOS, but this is the first time I've had a chance to talk to you, so really looking forward to this.
Well, it's a real pleasure, and I'm always thrilled to be back with the KLOS family and talk about all things heavy metal.
All things heavy metal, and what else? How are you feeling now that the pandemic's winding down?
Ooh, yeah. Wow, what a challenge for all of us. Some of us have had it really, really bad, and we send our love out to people that have been dealing with some of these pandemic issues a lot more darker than so many of the rest of us. But here we are. We're at the other end of that pandemic tunnel. Life always has a bright, shining star at the end of it.
Yes.
And that's what we're aiming to now. And Priest, like every band in the world, is just chomping at the heavy metal bit to get back out on the road again and to see all of our beautiful friends and fans and everybody else that makes the whole rock and roll world go around. It looks like we're ready and roaring to go and ready for liftoff.
Yeah, and fans are just dying to get out there, see a Judas Priest show. Love the message in your book, Confess. Very positive message in the book. You know, it's my current read right now. I was just thinking before talking to you, I'm just thinking to myself, where do I start? There's so much in this book. And I thought I knew a lot about you and your history, Rob. I didn't know that you were banned from Madison Square Garden for life.
Oh, my God. Yes.
I had no idea.
Well, I was able to get back there a couple of times, once with Maiden, I think, and once with Ozzy. But Priest has never been back. I don't know whether Priest is still the worldwide blanket heavy metal band from the Madison Square Garden. But what a night that was. You know, $250,000 worth of damage. Oh, wow, yeah. Talk about an extreme fun night of partying. It's what happens at a metal show. You know, anything could happen. It's chaos. It wasn't, I always hasten to say that it was never meant in a destructive way. It was exuberance.
Right.
It was the enthusiasm for heavy metal. It got a little bit out of control.
Just and, excited fans.
Ended up being like a trampoline, yeah. But it was a great show. That's part of the metal mythology of this great band Judas Priest for the last 50-odd years now.
You know, never say never. Do you think you'll ever have a chance to go back to MSG with Priest?
I'd love to go back there because, you know, it's... Wow, it's like CBGB's it used to be, you know. It's like the Whiskey Go-Go on the Strip. These places that where a lot of us saw, you know, the bands that change our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, come on, Madison Square Garden. Give Priest another opportunity to play there and nail the seats down.
100%. I wanted to ask if you're still rocking those boots, too, by the way, that Lizzie Hale sent you. Because they're pretty cool boots.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great.
What a force. Her voice is remarkable.
Oh,
yeah, that funny picture of myself teetering on them on my Instagram at Rob Halford Legacy. Wow, I just have nothing but the highest praise for anyone that can walk around in those.
Oh, yeah,
those,
the personal hell that can be heels.
Like an S&M thing. Oh my God! I couldn't wait to get them off, and I just threw myself on the sofa, sweating from head to foot.
I saw that.
Hilarious. It was like balancing on a mountain, you know.
You were rubbing the feet. Hey, we do it for the sexy, though. We do it for the sexy. Stories and memories of 5 decades of rocking, all put down on paper in your new book, Confess. It's my current read. You've decided to confess because it's good for the soul. Yeah. What's the true inspiration to write this book?
I think so, and. The inspiration is for everybody that's been in my life, and it's been an absolute joy to have this great trip around the sun, 70 times about to happen on the 25th of August, 70 times around the sun, and so there comes a moment for a lot of us in music that have had all the joys and blessings that we get from everybody that keeps us and sustains us in the work that we love to do. And the publishers start calling and, hey, you know, can you autobiography? For me, it started in my late 30s, early 40s. And I always said, no, the time isn't right. You know, I want to get some more metal miles under the belt.
Right.
So there came a moment recently when I said, yeah, let's do it. I'm ready now. Let me do this now while I'm still, while I still have a brain that can recollect the metal memories. And here we have it, Confess, and everything that's associated to that word, because, boy, I have confessed, right, Marcy? I have really and truly confessed.
Clearly, yeah, you're very candid. You come from such a humble beginning in Walsall. It's Walsall, right?
Walsall, yeah, Walsall. That's the place, Walsall.
And you end up selling 50 million albums in the metal world. In the book, like you said, we get very candid confessions, if you will, starting early on. Your sister Sue was dating Ian Hill and Judas Priest, and then you kind of slid in when they were looking for a singer.
Yep.
You knew you could sing, and everyone around you knew you could sing. People knew, everyone at school. Was it your principal or teacher? You mentioned this in the book. Would take you around so you could belt out a song for all the students.
Yeah, it feels like people have been doing that for most of my professional life. Here's the microphone, singing to it, you know.
Yeah.
But, I think for a lot of us, particularly as children, when we're discovering the joy of music, even as a little kid, you know, music is part of our life. It's a thing. It's just a real substantial issue that we love to relate to. It's a vital part of our existence. So here I am as a little kid, maybe, what, seven, five, I don't know, school teacher's putting a school choir together, and each of us has to go to the front of the class while she plays the little upright piano, and it's a beautiful Scottish lullaby called Speed Bunny Boat, and I sing it, and there's a spontaneous ripple of applause, and kids love to be loved, you know, and then she goes, do that again, so I sang it again, and then she come with me, so took me to the class next door, and we did it for the next class. So that was my introduction to to the world of music as a singer, and that was a very very kind of touchstone or whatever, the things that happen in your life that have great power, no matter even as a child, they live with you forever.
You knew then and there that was something you wanted to do the rest of your life.
Yeah, because I was in the school productions, and you know, it's a great feeling when you get onto a stage. It's almost like you're destined to be there, you know, and you get all of this energy and these great vibes that only exist when you're on a stage and you're entertaining people, because that's what you're doing. You're making an emotional connection, musically or whatever format, from a stage. You're connecting with people, and it's the greatest thrill of the world. Even now, you know, I get tingles before I walk out on stage. I can't wait to get out there and do the thing that I love to do.
Yeah, exhilarating. Was your, and in this book, it's definitely focused on sexuality. Was your sexuality a constant in the back of your mind, even in the beginning, knowing that most metal fans weren't open-arm embracing gay? I mean, it must have been so exhausting before you were out, Rob.
It was, and it is now. If anybody's listening, bang out of that closet, smash it down, crash it, burn it. Set yourself free. You're born this way. Live your life on your terms, you know, because then it's that whole thing. If you love yourself, if you find a balance and a harmony with yourself, you love yourself, then you can spread that love out to the rest of the world. So I went through a lot of trauma as a young person growing up in the UK because of a point, you know, men were being thrown in jail for loving each other. Yeah. I would read these stories as a young person. It would horrify me. Because I thought, wait a minute, I'm one of these people. Is there something wrong with me? Am I a freak? Am I abnormal? What's going on, you know? So all of that is piled onto you as a young person, and you carry that with you to some extent into your professional life because of the homophobia that is still existing at that point.
Yeah.
And you and I could talk forever about the great LGBTQ community, but it was an important part of making me into who I am. Because you find this great well that's full of strength and power that we all have, and you've got to really dig into it to find that it's there. And once you realize that it's there for you as an endless resource to get you through whatever difficulties there may be in your life on a sexual level or on any other level, then life is a joy, you know. Mm-hmm. You pull away all the fear, you pull away all the scary illusion, all of this stuff it manifests in your mind. And yeah, it's real because you hear horrible stories that still happen today to people in the LGBTQ community.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, you know, find that place of resource for yourself and great things begin to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I sadly learned from reading Confess that you had some experiences with some sexual predators. You make it clear that these men made you question what being gay meant and if it required predatory behavior, like you said a second ago, or if any of these experiences brought on the feelings that you were even having. It's such an honest book, and it did take a while for you to sort that out, it seems. I mean, how were you able to finally separate those experiences and find clarity and peace with your true sexuality?
Well, I think the real clarity, the real balance, the real harmony started when I stopped my drinking and my drugging.
Yeah.
On January the 6th, 1986, that's when I was reborn again in the sober sense. And it's the greatest feeling in the world to live in a sober world, day to day, 24 hours, one day at a time, because again, you are able to bring perfect clarity into any situation, any equation that's thrown at you, you're able to deal with it. Whereas before, if I was presented with a difficulty, I would reach for a drink or a drug to help me get through that difficulty.
I think a lot of people do.
That doesn't push the difficulty away, that just amplifies it, you know. So for people like myself who are addicted to drink and drugs, if you can get that in the right place and stay sober, then all of the things like sexual identity and being able to talk to friends about these issues, you just become a soundboard. You become a soundboard because you've been through fire, basically.
Yeah.
You've been through fire coming to terms with your sexuality. You've been through fire coming to terms with appreciating that you have a disease for drug and alcohol abuse. So all of these things, they don't pull you down. They lift you up. They lift you up. This is the great joy of life with finding out what you're capable of doing from your inner self. So from January 86, I just became stronger in every sense.
Yeah. Rob, you filled in for Ozzy. I'm not blowing smoke here at all. I was thinking about it. You're probably the only person that could fill in for Ozzy and have the fans accept it. I was thinking you, I mean, maybe Dio, I don't know, could pull it off. But wow. I mean, how was it filling in for Ozzy, the Prince of Darkness?
We love Ozzy.
Yes, we do.
I always say Ozzy... The thing about Ozzy that often gets overlooked is his voice. He's got the most incredible voice. He's got this unique voice in rock and roll, you know. So I love him for that as a fellow singer. And then, wow, Ozzy Osbourne, just those words and your head just goes way a million places, you know. Black Sabbath, all of his solo work, the TV show, all of the things that he's endured as a person. And still standing, you know, still standing, the Elton John, I'm still standing.
Yeah.
Incredible. So it was an honor. It was a thrill, and it was an honor for me to step in for Ozzy on those couple of occasions.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I want to shout out to my lovely Ronnie as well, because Ronnie's with me every day. I love Ronnie's voice as a...
Yeah.
As again, as singers, we love other singers, you know. And so those are my two mentors to a great extent.
Yeah, and one of the nicest guys as well.
Yeah.
Rob, you were able to mess up Paranoid. What happened with that?
I remember that first show. We did a customise. I was getting dressed with the guys, and we walk out, and I'm with Tony, and we walk to the stage. And then Tony's gone, and I'm all by myself. And it was a blackout, you know, before the start of the show. They're playing the music, the intro, and like, are they on? Have they walked on? What am I doing? I don't know what to do. I'm looking around at people. There's no road crew. I'm just standing by myself. And I thought, oh, I better go out there, you know, because maybe the show's about to start. So I slowly saunter out, and people are going, who's that guy?
Saunter.
And I stand and face the audience, and I look around me. There's nobody on stage. It's just me. And then I see Tony in the corner, doubled over laughing. Because I tell you something, Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler are the biggest practical jokers in heavy metal, I tell you, along with Ozzy and Bill. They just love to have a good time. But, yeah, you know, you do what you got to do. The show must go on.
That's right. The show must go on. So I love dumb rumors, usually, as long as I'm not involved. But we should clear this one up. You never worked in a porn theater. Somehow that made the rounds. You did fill in as a manager of a porn shop for a couple weekends, right? I mean, how did that rumor get so misconstrued, I wonder?
It's crazy. It got even more misconstrued when I did that bit in the Spawn movie, the Honest Ackler movie with Mickey Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
When we actually went to a little adult shop on Santa Monica, which ironically, we're doing the work and Mickey goes, "This is like art repeating life, or life, you know, art is life, or life is art." I go, "Why?" He goes, "Well, I used to work here. I used to work at this bookstore when I was starting in the business of in the movies."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't believe it. It's just crazy because the same thing happened to me when I was a younger person. Not so young. I knew a buddy that run a little adult shop in Walsall, and he asked me to fill in at the bookstore for a few days. So is that nuts, you know? Me and Mickey Rourke. Can you imagine? You walk into an adult bookstore and there's Mickey Rourke and Rob Halford standing behind the counter. What can I help you with today, sir or madam?
Can't imagine what was going through their mind. So what would you say was the single most, I have maybe a good idea what you're going to say here, but the single most difficult obstacle you faced while growing up and then ultimately becoming the openly gay badass that you are today? You're very honest in this book. You faced a lot.
Well, I think you've used that word, honest.
Yeah, you are. It is very.
That's a really important thing to have in your life, you know, honesty. Because if you're an honest person, you don't lie. You don't have to cover your tracks. You don't have to be second-thinking everything that's going on, what you say, what how you feel, you know, what people might be saying. All of that kind of falls away. So I think the biggest, one of the biggest obstacles, if it was an obstacle, I know what you mean, Marcy, but I think that, you know, just finding a place of comfort and balance, and you only get there through living your life. Mm-hmm. You just got to live your life, you know. Life, for the most part, life is tough, no matter what, you know, and you've got to, I think it's a test, I think it's a big test, you know. So it's how you deal with the issues that are presented. You're walking along the street and suddenly a great big heavy metal boulder lands in front of you. What do? You know?
Yeah.
You don't walk around it. You just start blasting away and push through it, you know? So I think for me, that was one of the biggest revelations, was just discovering this great thing of, this honesty brings you peace. Yeah,
and it must have been a huge relief, you know, when you were finally out and honest and to realize millions of fans were not going to leave your side. Was there any backlash you felt, if any? I mean, was there?
No, not at all. And this was the thing, you know, I talked a little bit earlier about the fear that you can easily surround yourself with, especially if you're hiding away in that closet. All of that was there. And I was fearful that my fans would pull away, and that, you know, the damage would be done to the band and all this kind of stuff. Couldn't have been further from the truth, because as we know, the heavy metal community, as we call ourselves, are all inclusive.
Right, right.
You know, even now, a lot of people don't dig metal; they don't understand it. So, as a metal community, we've come together, and when you come together to fight for a cause, that means you have to be all inclusive. You know,
right.
You have to accept everybody, regardless. Everybody, we're all the same. So,
yes,
that for me was just wow. It was a revelation. I'd kind of convinced myself that all of these terrible things were going to happen, and just the opposite occurred. It was just peace and light and happiness and welcoming, and just an enormous feeling of relief.
So great from fans and the band as well. They were always supportive of you?
Yes. Well, the band knew I was a gay guy right from day one. My family, my close friends, the label, all of my friends in the business. Yeah, but equally, they were in a place at that time in metal where they said, you know, we can't have you being paparazzi at a gay bar or an event, because we think that's gonna send things out of balance. So, you know, there you are. You're striving in a band, and you're slowly making headway, and you're becoming more and more successful. And you've got this thing like the Sword of Damocles. We wrote a song about that on the Demon of Souls. You've got that Sword of Damocles hanging over your head, and you're and you're just so concerned that the things are going to go in a different direction. So, yeah, it's all about finding that place that we've all got that gives us the power to get through every moment that presents itself.
I love it, Rob. Thank you for being so generous with your time. All of us here at KLOS are huge fans of yours. I'm a big fan. You're a legend. Before I let you go, this book of yours is very powerful. Is there anything we haven't covered that you really want the listeners to hear today?
Marcy, it's been so cool speaking to you. I love you guys at KLOS for the great things that you've done in music for the decades, and I know you will do for the decades to come. So it's been a blast. We've covered a lot of heavy metal turf territory in our chat today, Marcy. So thank you. It's been a blast. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful birthday. And do that thing where you have your proverbial cake and eat it. You must have cake.
Today is that day.
Yeah. So thank you, Marcy. I really had a good time.
Thank you so much. Confess, Rob Halford's autobiography out now. Please give my best to the other guys as well. Let's do this again when you're ready to share some Priest news. That would be great.
Yeah. There's stuff coming. There's stuff bubbling under. I can guarantee that we've got some amazing songs happening even right now. And I'll be back in the UK shortly. We'll be back in the studio very, very soon. And great things are coming from the Priest.
Very good. Can't wait.
Thank you, Marcy.
So great talking. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.